Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty. He goes on to say in Deuteronomy chapter 17 and in verse 18 or 19, and it shall be with him, and that he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord thy God, to keep all the words of the law and all the statutes to do them. And so, anyhow, he's telling you that that's the kind of person that you should be voting for, is someone who is obedient to the Word of God, who reads the Word of God, and who will implement the Word of God. Now, Neil, before, how can we help you before we go any further, before I forget, how can we, the people, help you in your election? We know you've got it all stacked against you, but God's a majority of one.
Me plus the Lord is always a majority, or any combination for any son or daughter. To answer your question, the biggest need that we have right now, and I don't mean to sound Christianese here, but
somebody say something.
Right now is the time for prayer and supplication. And because we're in this moment, Pastor Ernie, I've been campaigning for a year. It's been a very stressful, it's been a year of growth, it's been a year of breaking down, it's been a year of, you know, major learning. It's been a year of trusting the Lord. I mean, we've had hurdle after hurdle after hurdle. But here's where we're at now, very, very succinctly. This last Monday, we submitted a written mandamus to the Ohio Supreme Court. And in that writ, we've asked the court to rule because of the timeliness of the election and because we have not had the pathway in the time frame to use any of the lower courts, that we were forced to go to the highest court of Ohio because of timeliness is of such importance. And we have asked the court to rule in our favor to put us on the ballot, to give us ballot access, because as of July 15th, the Secretary of State, with the 88 county and the Board of Elections, as they reviewed our petitions, the reason that we did not make the ballot, according to Frank LaRose and according to the 88 county, was that we did not have enough signatures. Now, the Board of Elections in all 88 counties are simply to audit our petitions for their respective counties and to send those numbers up to the Secretary of State. In that process, very quickly, we discovered an incredible amount of anomalies, inconsistencies. We discovered things that we have presented our case that any of your listeners can go to our website, neilpeterson.com, go to news, and we just released a statement today. And in that statement, you can find a link to our 36-page writ of mandamus with 144 pages of supporting documentation and exhibits that we have proven to the court that the roughly 700 signatures that were invalidated should not be invalidated for many different reasons. And so we've presented not only that case, Ernie, but we have also presented the case that there is not a level playing field as it relates to independent candidates to major party candidates, i.e. Republican and Democrat. A independent candidate needs five times the number of signatures, but doesn't stop there. We also have a 2.5-month disadvantage before we even know whether we're going to have ballot access. And so when you look at what a Secretary of State does as it relates to elections, is they are supposed to make sure that the playing field is level. It's not to sway one way or another way. It's to give candidates the same exact opportunity as the other candidates to compete in fair elections. And so we have also proven in our writ of mandamus to the Ohio Supreme Court that the process in Ohio is anything but fair. We've proven it by other court cases. We've given
Arizona who are missing
opinions. And what we are seeing now is we feel we have an incredible case And we have a strong case as it relates to the Supreme Court justices of Ohio to rule in favor to demand Frank LaRose to put us on the November general election ballot. But outside of that, even if that doesn't happen, we truly believe that we are, that history is in the making here, because there's a 50 plus year precedent in Ohio for the major parties to not allow any independents to have any sort of traction because of some of these things that we're coming up against. So you got to remember, there is no case that we can even come bring up to the court until a candidate can even make it as far as we did. And so it's in the Lord's hands. We have truly, through by Monday, we have done everything we can physically do. We had to do in 9 days. That's all we had the time to protest. By the time we heard that we were disqualified, till we had August 1st, by the time we got our information, we had 9 days to scour 1,200 pages of documents. We had to go through 6,000 signatures from 88 counties. We had to do what the 88 counties had 78 days to do. We had to do in 9. And so the whole thing is rigged. It just is. When it talks about fair and balanced, when it talks about election integrity, now more than ever, people want and they're demanding that the two-party system is exposed for what it is. If there's good candidates that run Republican, so be it. If there's good candidates run as Democrat, so be it. But right now, people want truth. So right now, at this moment, we need prayer. The moment things are overturned, if that's the direction that the Lord's going to take us, it's going to be epic. And I think people in anti-DeWine sentimenters, people that are anti-DeWine in sentiment, and people that want a third-party choice, it's going to get real lively here in Ohio.
All right. You know what? You're right. We need prayer. And I'm going to ask the folks out there right now, all across this entire nation and whatever country, too, because we're being listened to in a number of countries right now tonight, even as we're here. And so I'm going to ask all of you out there, we are so fed up with the inequality. We're so fed up with the prejudice. We're so the anti-Christian. And, you know, we just would like some fairness again, once again, put back. And so I'm asking all of you to join with me as we pray that God will intervene, because let's just join with me and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I've got absolutely no confidence in the Supreme Court, but Lord, I got every bit of confidence in you. Lord, I know that our system is corrupted, and I don't know, Lord, if this country will ever, ever have fair and honest elections again. Even here, as I'm sitting here in front of me, I have all of these articles from all the different states where more and more corruption fraud they found. Here we go, machine failures being reported in Michigan. On and on it goes, Lord. And so, Lord, we're petitioning you. We're calling upon you. We're asking you, Father God, Lord, to hear us, and that you would intervene, and, Lord, that you would put the fear of you into these politicians, into Frank LaRose, and to that court that calls themselves Supreme, that you would, again, put the fear of you into those people, that they would be called to do the right thing, the honest thing, and the fair thing. Lord, these things we're asking in the name of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Neil, we're going to play a clip now, and the clip is called Little Ones. And then when we're finished, I want all three of you fellows to comment. Now, we're only going to play about 20 minutes of it. It's about an hour and a half long. It's very, very powerful. We'll be showing this at Doers of the Word Baptist Church this coming Sunday at 4 p.m. And we invite you out to join us. And the church is at 14781 Sperry Road. It's 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry, Ohio. Or go to our website, wrwl.org, and all that information is there. So go ahead and take it away, Craig.
There are hundreds of children in Arizona who are missing right now from state custody. But who is out there looking for them?
Over 1 million children vanish each year. The FBI has found dozens of missing children in Los Angeles. It's all part of what's being called Operation Lost Angels.
83,000 each month.
They found nearly 978 children went missing in 2019.
2,700 a day.
72 missing children across Indiana, Iowa, Ohio, and Georgia in the past several weeks.
115 per hour.
In the meantime, the Arizona Department of Child Safety says tonight they can't locate 44 children who are supposed to be in their custody.
One every 30 seconds.
Some in this operation were trafficked, some sexually and or physically abused.
This child trafficking thing
is real.
It has always existed.
Well, my name is Nancy Schaefer, and I'm from the state of Georgia in the United States. And thank you for your gracious invitation. I will share with you on the unlimited power of Child Protective Services. I served in the Georgia State Senate. And after 4 years of viewing the ruthless and unsparing actions of Child Protective Services, I wrote a scathing report entitled The Corrupt Business of Child Protective Services. The report cost me my Senate seat. This is not to say that there are not those children in wretched situations who need to be removed. There are, and we all agree.
If you have history in your past, you know the story of an abusive child who was saved by CPS. You can't then assume that CPS saves everybody. Who is mainly involved in CPS? Hospitals and doctors. Why? Because people trust hospitals and doctors. They shouldn't, but they do. And in the same hospital where babies are being born, the same hospital, babies are being kidnapped. In the same place where people are being cured of cancer, the same place people are being killed with remdesivir and ventilators. And people can't separate that because they see it all as one. Something's either all good or it's all bad.
But tonight, I'm talking about those children removed from their homes intentionally for profit.
What is child trafficking? Child trafficking is when you kidnap a child for profit. In other words, if you take a child from its family and give it to somebody else for money, that's the definition of child trafficking. But what you need to recognize is that defines what the states are doing with the federal government.
There was no order.
There doesn't have to be an order. My baby is fine.
The mommy can go without doctor's order, but not the baby.
The states are taking children, giving them to somebody else for money that they get from the federal government. That means that all 50 states are involved in government-subsidized child trafficking. It's a ring. It is the largest and most pervasive child trafficking ring in the history of the world by sheer money and numbers.
Children are seized unnecessarily from their families due to the federal aid entitled the Adoption and Safe Families Act.
It was put into law in 1997 by Bill and Hillary Clinton, and I said it that way on purpose. And it is a law that literally steals money from the Social Security Fund and gives this money to the states in order to incentivize them to kidnap babies.
To receive the adoption incentives or bonuses, local CPS must have more children. They must have more merchandise to sell.
Every child, once you've added it all up, is worth approximately $1 million to the state. But we've been told that this is a $60 to $80 billion a year industry, meaning the federal government is taking $80 billion a year and giving that money to all of the 50 states to kidnap children.
Parents are victimized by the system that makes a profit for holding children longer and bonuses for not returning children to their parents.
But their own statistics state that 83% of all children who are taken by CPS, Child Protective Services, are for unsubstantiated allegations, meaning never should it have happened in the first place. So imagine anything else in the world where you know you get it wrong 83% of the time and you admit it, but you just keep doing it.
Case workers and social workers are often guilty of fraud. They withhold and destroy evidence.
It doesn't make any logical sense as you study this all across the country, and it specifically doesn't make any sense in the case of my grandson, baby Cyrus.
Our journey began in May when Diego Rodriguez reached out to me to expose to the world what Child Protective Services was doing to his grandson, Cyrus. At the time of this interview, the parents of baby Cyrus were gagged by Judge Lori Fortier under threat of imprisonment. And after starting to dig in, we had no idea how dark and how deep the rabbit hole would go.
What is this about, sir?
So this all started when my son Cyrus was having prolonged vomiting episodes. We had taken him to many different specialists to get checked out. Nobody could seem to find out what the problem was. We had just brought Cyrus back the following week from the hospital, from the ER. He had been discharged and everything. He was doing great. And then that week, we had follow-up appointments with our specialists, nurse practitioners and such.
That morning, I woke up with a sore throat, and I was going to try to go to that weight check anyways. And my husband was like, you know what, just cancel. It's fine.
And so she called in, and she asked them if we could cancel the appointment, and she was just going to reschedule for that following Monday. They didn't answer the phone, so she just left them a voicemail. And apparently, 20 minutes after that, they had called CPS and reported us just for that.
And I woke up from my nap, and there was a text message from a social worker. My dad told my husband that the law enforcement had showed up at his home looking for my son, looking for us.
In the evening, my wife was feeling much better. We went and we had dinner with our friend that had already previously been scheduled.
That moment we pulled out, my sister spotted an officer, and she said, oh, look, there's a cop right there. I think he's following us. And when I looked forward, there was a second officer that turned in front of us. And immediately when that happened, I knew, okay, so this is not going to be good.
The police officer said, you know, hey, I just have a blowout in your truck, and I need to detain you until Meridian Police come.
We got a call from Meridian Police Department detectives, okay, and for whatever reason, they're looking for your truck.
And then it was just more and more and more, and pretty soon there was probably 10 to 15 police cars around, 20 different officers or so, right? The detectives came up, and they told us, hey, you know, we have a CPS referral for you guys. It looks like you guys missed your appointment this morning.
If I do anything, step out of the car. How much is that out of the car?
Is that my right?
Not right now, son. Get out of the car. Get out of the car. I'm not gonna screw around with you, okay? Get out of the car. Right now. Get back. Now. Or are you gonna go to jail?
Detain for what?
We're not gonna screw with you. You understand? We're not to.
What kind did I commit?
No, felony injury to child. Get out of the car.
Hey, you can't abuse me. I'm getting out. I'm getting out. Let me get out.
For what reason?
For a felony injury to a child. Okay, she won.
And I knew what was going to happen at this point, but I didn't want to accept it.
The officers come around to my side. They open the truck door, and at this moment, when this is all happening, I remembered what I prayed, and immediately I knew, I had no doubt in my mind they were going to take him, that no matter what happened, they were going to take him.
Give me the baby, okay?
I can't. Can you please help me right now? You understand, I'm a guest for all right now.
We know.
I really need your help right now.
We'll give you that opportunity, okay? But yes, so we're going to take him to the hospital. And if you want to go, you can come
along. Can I ride with him?
Yes, you can.
The fear that I had at that moment was like absolutely paralyzing. I don't think there were many things I wouldn't have done to keep him. And so he says, come into the ambulance with the baby. We just want to check on him. We won't separate you. You can go to the hospital with him. You can ride in the ambulance, and you won't be separated. I promise you. You can trust me.
The officer told me that I could go with him in the ambulance into the hospital.
Yeah, and I don't know what we said before then. I was not a part of that conversation.
You can't take him. You can't. I can't. You understand what happens when the state takes custody of babies? I've seen this so many times. I can't be that next person.
It has been reported over and over that six times as many children die in foster care than in the general public. Once a child is legally kidnapped and placed in official safety, the child is far more likely to suffer abuse, including sexual molestation and or rape.
So you have one option at this point. You need to get him to the EMT, and you can go on your merry way with your friends and your family who's out there.
It's not merry at all.
Or I remove him from you, and you go to jail. You need to make that decision. You need to make him out of this.
I won't let him go.
Okay. Go ahead and jump that away for me. Okay, please let him go so he doesn't have to hurt, okay? Come here a little bit. Okay.
I let him go.
No, she's going to jail.
Okay. I just said I could, but I let him go first.
Put your hands on your back, okay?
And he had his hands over the EMT's shoulder, like reaching out for me. They closed the ambulance door. That was the last thing I saw.
Cyrus!
No, go in the car.
Cyrus!
In the car. It's all right. It's okay.
Cyrus!
It's okay.
No, let me say bye.
You're going to make it worse. You're going to make it worse. Say goodbye.
These are crimes against humanity for financial gain. Rights are removed from parents. Human rights, civil rights, and even religious rights.
But this is a level and order of magnitude in terms of wickedness right up there with abortion and all other great evils. Man-stealing is a capital crime, meaning God says those people who kidnap or who steal other men by force are worthy of death.
These parents, trapped in the system,
become like refugees. They're dazed and glazed and have no one of whom to turn. They do not know what to do, and the loss of their children is devastating.
In the middle of us being good parents, desperately trying to take care of him, now the government's just going to step in and say, okay, you're criminals, and we're taking your child from you.
After having worked in this arena for several years, I do not believe that a single child comes out whole after having been in this system. And it is a growing criminal political phenomenon spreading around the globe.
This is a spiritual battle. This is not new. This goes back thousands of years. I would say this literally goes back to the very beginning.
In order to understand this present darkness, of course we had to uncover its origins in the past. There was no other man more qualified than biblical archaeologist Henry B. Smith Jr. of the Associates for Biblical Research.
Archaeology is a tool that can be used properly and carefully as an apologetic resource, as an educational resource, as a biblical resource to help people understand that what we find in Holy Scripture are not stories, they're not myths. These are actual events that took place in time and space. And the sovereign God who reveals himself in Scripture has preserved these things in Scripture for us to understand human history, to understand our need for salvation, that we have a sin problem, a very wretched and deep one that needs a redeemer. Jesus warns his hearers, and he uses this very powerful picture of putting a millstone around the neck of someone being tossed into the sea.
It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves.
Unfortunately, in history and even in the modern day, that children are attacked, abused, and in many cases even kidnapped and murdered. One of the first passages that we see in the Old Testament is both in Leviticus 18 and 20, and it refers to what seems strange to the modern reader at first glance is the practice of child sacrifice. Particularly, we have mentioned in these passages where God is giving absolute commands to the Israelites not to participate in the sacrifice of their children, to give them over to Molech. What we see in these warnings in the Old Testament that God is warning the Israelites are not just mere inventions. The Israelites are not just making up these gods, but they actually exist. All of it, though, involves the giving over of small children, usually very small from what we understand from the archaeological evidence, to these gods. In the book of Jeremiah, we see a mention of it that it looked like it was taking place in the Valley of Hinnom, right outside the city walls of Jerusalem. What's interesting about that is eventually that place gained the name Gehenna, which Jesus uses the motif for hell. Now, when we think about the practice of child sacrifice in antiquity, people in the West often think of this as some barbaric practice of the world in the past. People kind of like want to close their eyes to the parallels that we have with the practice of abortion. The only distinction from a human standpoint that we're talking about is that the child is not born yet versus the child that's born.
63,459,781 total abortions since 1973. What if instead of sacrificing children to the sound of beating drums on blazing altars, they merely concealed themselves in discreet brick buildings with forceps and vacuum pumps? In 1984, one of the most disturbing and underreported cases of child sacrifice was discovered in a Los Angeles shipyard. In a repossessed shipping container, workers discovered over 16,500 aborted babies.
One of them fell down and hit me right in front of my feet. And it was opened up, and there it was. It was a mutilated body. And the more closer I looked at it, it was a human body.
And when I came to work the following day, I saw it myself. I couldn't believe it. And it's just, you know, just little babies, you know, just all torn to pieces. Heads chopped off, arms, legs.
And as bizarre and demented as that sounds, in December of 2020, Indiana authorities discovered a total of 2,411 medically preserved fetal remains in the possession of Dr. Ulrich Klopfer. There seems to be no logical explanation for such a volume of deceased babies, until you learn that each one can yield thousands of dollars when sold to various institutions.
Planned Parenthood is accused of some disturbing crimes today. Anti-abortion activists released an undercover video filmed last year. It claims to show a senior official discussing how the organization sells aborted baby parts.
The value of the fetal brains alone in that container was $35 million. Yes, $35 million. The official narrative is that they were preserved due to an inability to properly dispose of them at the time of abortion. A far more reasonable conclusion is that they were moving product. In the past, sacrifices to Moloch might yield better crops or victory in battle. This evil has evolved into a capitalist enterprise where the blood of these little ones translates into millions in profit.
Perhaps the particulars have changed over time, but the spirit is still the same, and it has a thread through all throughout history. We're going to sacrifice this child so we can get what we want in return. So the question is Moloch being paid today? Our archaeological research shows definitively that this practice took place for over centuries. So why in the world would we think that it wouldn't persist today?
My name is Brandy Bracell. I work with Warrior Bride Ministries. We are a ministry that we minister inner healing and deliverance, but we specialize in some of the most traumatized survivors of satanic ritual abuse and human trafficking. I think that satanic ritual abuse is a lot greater and a bigger problem than most realize, and probably even myself in submersed in it as I am. Every neighborhood with 250 homes in it, 14 had satanic ritual abuse taking place. We had a client come in that his grandmother had brought him in. He was, from what I understand, fairly high up in ranking in a satanic, I guess, congregation or coven. And he talked about killings and murders and rituals that he had experienced and an army. He spoke of it like it was an army, because it is. The enemy is after our children at whatever cost and whatever avenue he can get to them at.
I'm a satanic ritual abuse survivor. The Christian church says all the time that they fight an enemy, but I don't think they're aware of how organized and strategic the enemy that they're fighting is. That there is a intentional plan to break their children. An entire war for their offspring.
The things I've heard from our survivors are the very things that you read about in Deuteronomy, with the children being passed through the fire to Moloch. It's not something new. It's been happening. It's for ages. And people want to stick their head in the sand and act like it's not happening, or this is not true, or it's made up, or it's a conspiracy. I've met too many people with the same story from different places all over the world. We've got clients in New Zealand and in Canada that tell a very similar story, and there's no way that they could have made that up. They're too similar in circumstances. The rituals are the same. The torture and the trauma is the same.
We started investigating these secret satanic cults when a British member of parliament linked them with the ritual murder of children. In this day and age, it sounded too far-fetched, as did suggestions that the same thing might be happening in Australia. But then we met Teresa.
Teresa is now 15, but at the age of two, she was left in the care of this woman, the grandma she called Nan. And that, she says, is when her torment started.
During these ceremonies, was Satan, the devil, ever referred to?
He was called Lucifer.
What did they say about the devil, about Lucifer?
That killing the people made him happy.
Sacrifices to please the devil. According to Teresa, the worst rituals took place at a house, somewhere in the country.
It was big, you know, expensive. From the front, it looked like a castle. You know, it had a long drive and big double wooden doors.
Do you think they were rich people then?
Very rich.
People don't understand how organized it is. There's a satanic calendar. grand climaxes happen 4 times a year. Those are major festivals. Think of your Christmas, your Easter, big holidays. We're talking major rituals, the September Marriage to the Beast ceremony. And if you look at the dates, the majority of kidnappings in the United States happen a week before, because it's a preparation. Each satanic holiday requires a specific sacrifice, whether it be blood or sex or an animal, newborn babies, whatever they needed for blood.
Let me get this right now. Are you saying that you saw more than one person killed in that house?
Yeah. I've seen loads of babies killed there. Just newborn babies. Or aborted ones, which were only small. You know, 4-year-olds. Any age, really.
1/6 of Georgia has 37 coffins. 37 coffins. 4 grand climaxes a year that require the sacrifice of a child or a woman. That's a lot of people.
Where do the kids come from, the majority that are used for this?
People don't want to know that answer.
If you're finding this hard to believe, so did I at first.
If there is an expert on satanic cults, it would have to be him.
Do you believe Teresa's story?
I believe Teresa's story. It's exactly the same story as I've heard from men who says they've done it.
You've dealt with other cases like hers?
Yes.
21 cases like hers, he says, in the past 2 years alone.
Remember me, you're taking all my money. Remember me, you gave my job away. Just a number who's white and straight and doesn't qualify for foreign aid. Remember me, I helped you get elected, but you haven't done one thing you said you'd do. Well, even though you'd rather not remember me, I'll remember you. Remember me, I served my country proudly. Remember me, I love the USA. Remember me, or am I just some bumpkin who you didn't think would notice the bounce checks and midnight raids? Remember me, I wrote you all those letters, thinking that you cared what I thought too. Well, even though you often just forget to remember, I'll remember you. I'll remember.
I'll remember.
In November.
In November.
As I step into the little booth, I'll remember.
Alrighty, I will remember. I'm to remember to vote for Neil Peterson because, you know, here we did a report, and I believe it was a couple months back about the University of Pittsburgh, where, and that was I'm sure it was the University of Pittsburgh, and the articles where babies are being, you know, carried to term, where These women will go out and they will get purposely get pregnant, carry a baby to term, and once that baby's born, sell it. And they will take it and they will dissect those babies alive and sell their body parts or organs. Really evil, like the state legislator in New York. The state and that legislator, which is completely corrupted and evil, where they voted that babies could be killed after, not just right up until birth, but even after birth. And then, John, what was it in California where that extremely, absolutely, totally corrupt governor and the legislators passed out there?
Well, Pastor Ernie, that's still in the legislative chain there. It passed, I believe, in the House. It hasn't gone to the Senate, but here's the story in that. It allows, how can a baby be alive, born, and then later said it's aborted? But it was going to allow the baby to be killed by the mother, they call it an abortion, up to 28 days after birth.
Okay, I mean, so, again, it doesn't matter before or after. It's murder either way. That's what God says. That's what the Word of God has said. Let me tell you what...
The word abortion.
Yeah. Here, well, listen to where this goes from. And here, again, it's evil. It's as wicked and evil as wicked and evil can be. And you'd be surprised, the witchcraft, some of the emails I get from people, because they're so angry that we're exposing this. And they're so angry because we're doing that. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 18. Thou hast defiled the sanctuaries of the multitude of thy iniquities, and by thy traffic, we're talking about human trafficking here, therefore will I bring forth the fire from the midst of thee, it shall devour thee. I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee, and they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Well, he's talking to Satan. He's talking to the devil and those Democrats out there that worship him, and those rhinos too, okay? The wicked, the ungodly, the unsaved that worship Satan. And that's what they do, you know, in their works. In their works. And it's, you talk about, we just talked about in Galatians 5 about all the sins of the flesh out there. It's as evil can possibly be. Now, what you folks have heard here, we're going to be showing the entire movie, Lord's Willing, the Doers of the Word Baptist Church, this coming Sunday at 4 o'clock. And now we have another one, too. And some people say, well, Pastor, this is horrible stuff. We don't want to see this horrible stuff. Well, you need to know this. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for
lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge, folks. And what does it say in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20? That those people with the simple-minded hate knowledge. They hate knowledge. Our job is to tell you, to explain to you what's happening out there, and that's what we do. And boy, I'm going to tell you, when we do it, you know, the ungodly, the Satan's crowd out there, well, we definitely get their attention, for sure. But folks, at least we know we're over the target, right? But anyhow, that's doers of the word.
Mr. Ernie.
Yeah, John.
I posted on my blog today, and here's one of the articles that I posted. They're building altars to celebrate sacrificing babies to abortion. This is in on YouTube. It shows you how to build an altar for sacrificing your baby to abortion. I think if you dug a little deeper, you'll see it's to Satan. But anyways, this is just like Baal worship and Moloch worship, and it's reverting exactly the way it was under the pagans. That's the way it's heading right now, Pastor.
Well, Satanism, the Satanists have joined up with LGBTQ and Planned Parenthood, which are a major part of the Democratic Communist Party. So these Satanists, these child sacrifices, are just a part of the Democratic Communist Party, folks. So when you vote for a Democrat, that's what you're voting for. When you vote for a Democrat, that is what you're voting for. Now, here, let me just, I wanted to just say this very quickly, okay? Doers of the Word Baptist Church, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio. We'll be giving, we start at 8:30 in the morning with an in-depth Bible study. It's an in-depth Bible study. And then we at 9:30, we have another Bible study. It's on a different topic. And then at 11:30 or 11:15, the morning service starts. At 4 p.m., we're going to show the class, the Bible and current events. And there will be two films, one on what we're talking about now, the child, and the other is going to be on the truth, the real truth behind these so-called vaccines and what is behind it, what's really taking place. And, folks, so that's because we're an activist church. We're not a 501c3 corporation. We're an unregistered New Testament church. We're an activist church. And the name of our church is Doers of the Word Baptist Church, and that's what we believe in. And so, Neil, again, tell the folks out there how can they help you? How can they help you get elected? Oh, by the way, Neil, before you answer that, let me just say this. A number of people out there, these so-called prosecutors, attorney generals and prosecutors, are refusing to do their job and close down these bloody abortion mills in states like Ohio that have passed the heartbeat bill. Now, in Florida, Governor DeSantis has just relieved some of those corrupt, very, very George Soros bought and paid for whores, prostitute whores, prosecutors. As governor in Ohio, when it comes, we have the heartbeat bill, and I've worked so hard to get that passed. We're working on life of conception. If the prosecutors, and I'm talking about like those in Cleveland and Columbus, if they refuse to do their job and prosecute these bloody whorehouses of death called abortion mills, as governor, what would you do?
Well, they're to be held contempt, and they should be held criminally responsible and charged criminally, not just be disbarred or relieved of their duty. I think we need to explore all options, because this is the adage that we were speaking earlier of lawlessness. You can't decide as a prosecutor or whatever position you hold what laws you decide you want to uphold and which laws you don't. And that's the whole point of our legal system. And so absolutely they are to be held criminally responsible in contempt of court. And I say criminally because if by their nature of not shutting down these abortion clinics, well, what are they doing? They're complicit in murder. And so they're involved in a crime. That is a crime scene. And I think it's so easy, even as believers, to become so lukewarm as to the absolute atrocity of murdering babies in the womb. Well, it is murder. And so if you're complicit in it, especially when a bill like the heartbeat bill begins to shut down all abortion clinics that are murdering babies after a heartbeat is detected, well, they're complicit. So that's exactly what I would do. Very, very, very quickly about what you played. It was absolutely always, it rips my heart out. I have three daughters, 19, 12, and 10. They've grown up too quickly. And my 10-year-old, you know, I just, when I hear the stories and I hear the audio, and I can only imagine watching the video, I can't imagine having any of my children not just ripped out from my covering and ripped out from the covering of the father and the mother, but then to be turned over to a system that is going to prey on them sexually, is going to prey on them from a soulish standpoint, to destroy their soul. But then to turn them over to a demonic hordes of hell to torment them, and outside of God's covering and his redemption and outside of God's ability to restore, you know, they are left to having their lives completely destroyed. And this is why the Lord takes it so seriously about a millstone being wrapped around their neck. And so we have to, as Bernie, as the name of your church, the doers of the word, we have to be not just hearers of the word, but in this hour, Christians need to ask the Lord this tonight. Lord, what do you want me to do? You may not think you have any skills, but I'm going to tell you there's only one of you in the world. God has made you unique. You've got a set of skills, whether you know it or not. There's something that only you know how to do, and there's only someone that only you can reach. Do not think about reaching the stadiums. Do not think about reaching the cities if you haven't started with your neighbor. And so every one of us, when we understand that God has called us to be the light and the salt of the earth, and so right now we need to do something, say something, step out in faith, and step up as the Lord is calling all of us for such a time as this.
All right, very good. And Neil, we have to have you back on this program between now and November at least another four or five more times. You got to keep your name out in front of the people and let them know. And in Ohio, this program will be played four times on come Monday. It'll be played four more times. Well, actually Sunday and Monday, okay? And so, anyhow, we've got to keep your name back out in front of the people so they know. And again, how can they help you? How can the folks out there listening, what can they do for you?
So, Pastor Ernie, again, thank you for the opportunity. I love you and your shows. And, John, so great to talk with you tonight. And thank you, gentlemen. Any of your listeners, as I said before, thank you for leading us in prayer early. Continue to hold us up as the Holy Spirit leads, to lift us up in prayer. We are certainly in a David and Goliath scenario. We are good at preaching on faith. I think as a body of Christ, sometimes we're bad at living it out. And we're doing our best to live out our assignment. If you are on social media, Facebook is the top way for us to connect. If you just search Neil Peterson for governor, our website is neilpeterson.com. It's N-I-E-L, Peter, S-E-N, or just Google Neil Peterson for governor. It will show up, top placement. But follow us as the Lord leads you to. And we, right now, I said earlier, if you didn't go back and listen, as to our legal battle, but now is the time to let the courts of heaven, the highest court, in this realm that we live in, is not the Ohio Supreme Court or even the U.S. Supreme Court. It is, as believers, we have another court, and we have the high priest that is going to rule on behalf of what the Father wills. And so we stand beside and stand upon the Word of God, and we're going to keep fighting until every last door is closed, but we want to give Ohioans an alternative to Mike DeWine and Nan Whaley, and Lord willing, we will do just that when the court rules in our favor.
Amen. And okay, they're very good. We will continue to keep that in prayer, folks out there. Again, here we've got to have some godly people. We got to get godly people back in office, and who else is running for governor? Who's the congressman, I think, that's running? He's running for senator. Am I right? Yeah, he's running for senator. So Nan Whaley is the Democrat. She's running as the Democrat, huh?
Yeah, Nan Whaley, she's the Democrat. She's the former mayor of Dayton. She is basically turned her entire platform into how much of an advocate she is of killing babies. She tweets about it multiple times every day. Of course, she uses the rhetoric of women's rights and all of the other propaganda. But yes, she is the Democratic forerunner and the winner, and she is no good for Ohio, as well as Mike DeWine is a no-go.
I'm going to do this because I know there are a whole lot of Democrats out there, a whole lot of Democrats that don't want to vote for Democrats. They're kind of ashamed of what their parties turn into, but they don't want to vote for a Republican. And so here's the choice. Here's the vote for a godly man, a man that God has raised up. And so, folks, do the right thing. Neil, you've got 3 minutes. Can you give an invitation to the folks out there who are unsaved out there tonight in 3 minutes?
Yeah, I sure can. What a great opportunity. Well, I want to say this in closing, that nobody knows when your last day on this life will be. Last Sunday, as in just several days ago, I woke up, and here in Dayton, there's a ministry called Simple Street Ministries. And Pastor Joel, he's 42 years old. He's exactly my age. He went down to Florida. He has one of the best ministries here in Dayton. He went down to Florida with his family and his ministry team to minister. They were walking across the street, and a drunk driver hit him and the other guy that was with him, and he was killed. This was just a few days ago, my friend. And I gave a tribute to him, and I gave an altar call, because the reality is even those that are doing the Lord's work, if we can be called home in any given time, how precious our life is. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, today, tonight is the night to surrender, to call upon the name of the Lord, and ask the Lord to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you for living a life that's outside of what he has called you to do. Repent, meaning turn away. Turn away from the things, your old life. The Lord has a new life, not a patched up life. He's not just going to patch you back together. He says that he will make you a new creation. Turn away from the things that have led you into darkness and ask the Lord to come into your life, and he will commune with you, and you will become a new creation. All things will become new in your life. Today is the day of salvation, and the Lord is knocking at the door of your heart to invite you in, so he can become into your life tonight. Tonight, call upon the name of the Lord that you may be saved.
Tonight's tomorrow, or tomorrow's tonight. You're absolutely right, and no one has ever, ever regretted receiving Christ as their Lord and Savior. There's a whole lot of people in a hot place right now that wish they had, I can tell you that. You've got God's word on that. So, folks, again, like Neil said, do it tonight, because you may not have it tomorrow. We are out of time for tonight. Neil, thanks for being here. Big John,
thanks for being here.
And thanks
yes,
for...
Wonderful meeting, Neil. Great.
All righty. Ron, God bless.
Thank
keep,
you so much,
always, always, keep fighting the fight.